Send a movie idea.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, mate.
Hello. Where the hell are you?
I'm in Pret.
You're in Pret?
It's a little boutique-y London restaurant. I don't know if you've heard of it.
For anyone who doesn't know, the fact that I found Joel in a Pret is probably the most on-brand thing I could have physically done.
Do you hear me eating?
No, I don't want to hear you eating. Stop it, Joel. Right, so before we start this episode, listener, don't worry. Joel won't be phoning the whole thing in. Well, he might be mentally,
yeah, but, be,
not,
yeah.
But not literally. I've got a bone to pick with you. So,
what's that?
So I did, in the first episode, I don't know if you remember, I did a thing called Bob Marley and Me. And I thought,
yeah,
I thought I was really brilliant. And I even admit in the episode I've not seen the film. But
yeah.
And this doesn't come up, but you have seen the film.
Yeah, all right, I have seen it, yeah. But I don't think the fact it's named after Bob Marley is a particularly important thing.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's pretty
stupid.
Throwaway. I assume maybe the dog was named after one of the other famous Marleys.
Which one?
The country Marley. Yeah. Or the old bloke in Christmas Carol.
Well, it wasn't, Joel, and I got some. I'm gonna say it now. I got some hate mail about it.
Death threats.
Yeah. So look, I apologise. I didn't realise the dog in Bob Marley and Me was Bob Marley. It actually
honest,
was.
Mate,
so we made that film.
I don't think Owen Wilson or Jennifer Aniston were particularly aware. I'm not sure it's a really important thing. I can't remember anything about that film other than the fact the dog dies.
On that lovely note, should we have an episode?
Yeah.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Dream Factory, a weekly podcast where we pit your movie ideas against our substantially superior cinematic masterpieces. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage where we'll have it etched onto papyrus by monks and then burnt at the summit of Kathmandu. I'm Joel, a man who puts the meow in homeowner. And across from me is John, a man so handsome that he's actually required by law to dress as badly as he does.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I tried to write the perfect backhanded compliment.
Do you like this hat?
Do you think I've done it? Yeah, no.
It's amazing how it fit on my head, and it still fits on my head now that I've got headphones on.
Remarkable hat.
Amazing.
What it lacks in stylishness, it makes up for in practicality.
And size.
And often I say that about you. And size.
And cultural offensiveness.
So, listener, if you enjoyed that backhanded compliment, and I did, and I'll remind you of it now, John is a man so handsome that he's actually required by law to address as badly as he does. Now, if you can think of a greater backhanded compliment to deliver John, we'd very much like to see that in the reviews on iTunes. So just go to iTunes and review the podcast, which isn't as simple on the iTunes app as you'd imagine, is it, John? It's actually quite difficult to do.
Is it? I don't have a modern phone. No, I do. I have an Android. So it means I have to go on the retro computers to do it.
It's alarmingly complex. So if you've made it that far, thank you so much, and could you please write, just after you tick 5 stars, could you please write John a backhanded compliment superior to that? Right, should we do some films?
Yes, please.
Hit me.
Con has suggested Rise of the Japes. I think he probably suggested Rise of the Planet of the Japes. Actually, I know Con, he probably didn't.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Rise of the Japes.
Rise of the Japes, okay.
Let's assume,
yep,
he meant Rise of the Planet of the Japes. Where are you going to go with that?
Okay, it's the Edinburgh Fringe. And Scotland has become independent. and instilled a totalitarian dictator who is fed up with all the fun and frills and laughter being had in Edinburgh and has tried to quash it.
This is getting quite good.
A band of young comedians hop on a train from King's Cross, hop out at Carlisle, that's the other side of the country, Joel, and sneak across the border, because the trains no longer go to Scotland anymore under this regime. Hadrian's Wall is serious now.
Yeah.
It's not the half-assed Roman attempt at a wall. I'd like to know what Hadrian's Wall looked like in its heyday, because I'm fairly certain I've never seen a picture of it looking more than about a
literally
foot high.
You just said Hadrian's Wall in its heyday.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Hey,
in
Hadrian.
Its pomp. Yeah.
Hey.
Hadrian, hey,
spelled
heyday.
Hey.
Yeah, it kind of works.
It's good enough.
I want to see a picture of Hadrian's Wall in its heyday. I don't think it was ever like an insurmountable Chinese wall situation. They call it this. You know, it's called the Chinese Wall. You know that Chinese wall.
You make it sound like the finger trick.
That Chinese, you know the Chinese wall, don't you?
I would have broken into their premises, but they had a Chinese wall.
Yeah, they built a Chinese wall. Yeah, so I don't think Hadrian's Wall was ever particularly much to shout about.
Yeah.
And that's probably because of the aggression from the Picts. That's what the Scottish were called at the time, mate.
Nice.
So Hadrian's Wall has been
nothing
restored.
If not informative, Joel.
Thank you very much. Hadrian's Wall has been restored to its initial design, courtesy of Hadrian. I mean, also embarrassing. The only thing he's remembered for is a shit wall, isn't it?
Do you know anything past that
about Hadrian?
Yeah.
No, I think he was a Roman emperor.
My mum's French. And yeah. We have a family friend called Adrian.
Hadrian.
Yeah.
I was thinking more of Sylvester Stallone. Hadrian. But I mean, both great suggestions, mate. So
Sylvester Stallone, is he part of the Scottish boring lot, or is he part of the comedy resistance?
He is the dictator and he's doing a Scottish accent. All right, deal with that. So, and he hates laughter, Sylvester Stallone.
Famously.
Yeah, famously hates laughter. So they've wiped laughter out from Scotland. It's become a very serious nation. And this band of merry comedians head up to Scotland, sneak across Hadrian's Wall, which is now massive, by the way. Sneak through Hadrian's Wall, and they put on one big gig, Wayne's World 2 style.
Huge. What comedy / entertainment disciplines do you think we need? I'm thinking fire juggler.
Yep. I'd like to see
a small improv troupe.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. They're going to get into any character. An impersonator.
Satirical comedian. Discussing everything that's happening as it's happening.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, like narrating the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe one of those people that does like balloon tricks.
And a surrealist.
And a surrealist, yeah. Big time. Big time surrealist, yeah. Maybe, I don't know, like a cabaret act for good measure.
I like this idea, Joel. I'm surprised at how much juice you managed to get out of Planet of the Japes, because I'd already come up, before we even had this suggestion, the idea of Planet of the Apes had really been in my head, because I think the most recent Planet of the Apes trilogy is probably like one of the best trilogies in cinema. Like that, it was like a sneak attack. People weren't expecting Dawn of the Planet of the Apes to be that good.
No.
Or Rise. No, Rise is the first one, so they weren't expecting Rise, and then Dawn was great. And then the most recent one, War 4, all really excellent.
Yeah.
And they've made the trilogy, I won't spoil it, but they've kind of tied it up in a bow.
Not enough laughs in the trilogy, is that what you're saying?
They aren't. But, right, what animal rising and taking over humanity would have a guaranteed laugh?
Hyena.
Penguins, right?
Well, hyena, I mean, hyenas actually laugh, mate.
I'm thinking penguins, right? Bear with me. We can go with your hyena suggestion in a second. They've already got an internal hierarchy. We've got the emperor. We've got king. Mm-hmm. We've got royal penguins. Apparently, I googled it.
Nice.
And macaroni. The macaroni penguin, I'm not sure where.
Italian? Is it Italian?
He uses his flippers like really expressively as he's talking. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, you don't.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, no, Joey. No. No, not that. They won't be taking over from humanity. They'll be taking over from the apes.
Whoa. So this is afterwards.
Charlton Heston's on his knees.
Nice.
And he looks out and he sees in the seas hundreds of thousands of penguins.
Brilliant. I'm loving this.
Heading for the planet.
They're like, don't worry, Charles. How do the penguins find out about this?
So the virus that made humans die and apes talk somehow got to the pole where penguins are.
Yep.
The whichever one that is.
South.
So maybe like some human, he's getting very ill and he thinks he's just got like hypothermia. It turns out he's got the talking monkey death syndrome. Oh, I believe that's right, what they call it.
Yeah.
In the film.
Yeah, yeah.
And he, like, his last breath, he coughs and an emperor penguin just...
Okay, nice. Yeah.
I am Steve.
So in your mind, all penguins sound like that toy penguin from Toy Story.
What?
Wheezy.
Yeah, Wheezy. No. No, maybe it's funnier if they have really deep voices.
Okay, good.
Look, the point is the spectacle of hundreds
penguins
of thousands.
Penguins versus apes. I'm up for it, mate. I'm more than up for it.
Talking
I'm loving it.
Penguins versus talking apes.
Yeah.
Look, we're not really here to...
So where's the japes coming into this?
Penguins fighting apes is hilarious.
Yeah, it's a tough sell, I think. So I've got Planet of the Japes, it's called. Penguins fight monkeys. Yeah, where are the japes? Penguins will be fighting monkeys, mate. Just imagine that, could you? Where does most of the fight happen, on land or sea? Because, I mean, either way, one of them's on the back foot.
I think it has to happen in the sea because penguins are seriously on the back foot.
Have you ever seen a monkey swim? What are you on about? No, that's happened at sea because that would be fairer.
Yeah, but I assume in the time where the apes have learnt to wear clothes and become civil and ride
horses.
They've taken up swimming. For
another
cardio.
Thing the film won't cover. Refuses to cover. How have they travelled so much land mass?
It's like really clunky exposition. He's like, I didn't know apes could swim so well. And he's like, well, we do it for cardio.
Yeah, we're always training. Two great suggestions. Next film. You ready? Right, this one's coming from Simon. It's Fridge Over the River Kwai.
Yeah.
So, that's all I've got. You know the film Bridge Over the River Kwai?
Yeah.
Famous war film.
Yeah.
They have to build a bridge under some testing circumstances. All right?
So is it the sequel?
Yeah. The bridge has fallen down. And there are no bridge building materials.
And there are no cold beverages.
Yeah. No. There are no building materials for the bridge. But what they have got is a Beko, a tall Beko fridge.
Yeah.
And they empty it out and they use it as a raft to get across the river quite. Look, I can see you don't like this. So I've got some more suggestions in a similar vein.
Good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fridge of Spies. Right. Mark is a manager at Dixon's. And he's convinced that new starter Katie is stealing. So he installs several spies in the white goods section. You don't like that? Fine. Hacksaw fridge. Andrew Garfield has bought a new fridge. He's had it delivered.
Yeah.
He's had to pay a lot of money for delivery, but he didn't pay. He shirked on the installation because that was an extra 50 quid. He's bought a Smegs, so that's quite expensive. He's had it delivered, and he's paid for a specific time slot, so he didn't want to pay as well for the for the installation.
Yeah.
So he goes to do it himself, doesn't fit. Hacksaws it to bits. It's a tale. It's an look. It's basically an exploration in masculinity and those toxic gases that come out of fridges.
Smegs.
Yeah.
Does he make
Hacksaw Fridge?
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
I mean, it's a functioning pun on two levels.
Thank you very much.
And does he manage to get the fridge working at the end, or does he die from the fumes?
You don't know. Fade to black. Just as he's about to drop the fridge into the place, he's like, his head's swimming from the fumes. You never know.
Traditionally, in cinema, if... Not in cinema, but like in a lot of narratives, if you're following the film from the point of view of a character,
yeah,
and then it fades to black as they close their eyes, that probably means they've died.
Okay, well, this is from the point of view of the fridge. So,
or at the end of the credits, Andrew Garfield just, I'm all right.
The fridge door shuts and the light goes off. What, has the fridge died, mate? No, it's what they do when the door shuts. The door's open for the whole time because that's where he needs to shave a bit of width off. So you're watching it from inside. You know that, you know when you see those shots from inside a fridge?
Yeah.
It's that for the whole film. You see him picking it on the shop floor. You see it getting delivered.
And there's like, on the trailer, there's like some like inspirational images in slow motion whilst Andrew Garfield's just doing the narration, and he says, life is kind of like a fridge. Yeah. When you close yourself off, the darkness comes in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hacksaw Fridge. I say we stop recording now because that's the winner. But if you've got another suggestion, mate, come at me.
Have we got time for another?
Got another one? I would suggest, because I've got another absolutely killer one.
Yeah.
And, get this, nothing to do with fridges. So that's pretty good, isn't it?
Bloody hell.
So I reckon, give me one, I'll give you one.
Ooh. What about, this is from my own head. I've got a list, Joel. I'm just trying to think of one that I like. I've written this one twice in my list by accident. This is how much I like it.
Right, okay.
Did you ever see the Clint Eastwood film about a boxer? Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah. Is this a similar theme to when we cover Baby Driver?
We can rebuild him.
Brewster's Millions, but with a baby?
Yeah.
You know the film Brewster's Millions?
No.
Good that you just fucking blagged that. Brewster's Millions, right?
Look, I'm nothing if not with you at all times, Joe.
So, yeah, and I wish you'd leave. Brewster's Millions, he gets given a load of money, but in order to, I think, inherit more money, he has to spend all of that money without gaining anything.
What? That's like the worst
like a mad
moral,
clause.
Moral like, in a film I've
it's like
ever
it's
seen.
It's like a mad inheritance clause in his inheritance, right?
Yeah.
So he gets given £1 million and he has to spend it all within like 3 days, but he can't gain anything.
Yeah.
And like he tries all the stuff, he goes to a racetrack, he goes, oh, $500,000 on that horse, and obviously wins. It's actually like a family classic, but imagine that but with a baby.
And it is at the end he manages to get rid of it all, but he's gained like the love of his life.
Yeah, it's essentially
is that what
that.
It is?
Yeah. Imagine that but with a baby. Million Dollar Baby. Or is it the person that's backing Boss Baby? Is it like the investor behind it all? Because no one really explains how the Boss Baby company's getting its money. Is there
So it's the sequel.
Yeah, it's the sequel. No, it's a sequel. Boss Baby's made his millions.
This goes wider than you think.
Million Dollar Baby.
The baby spins around on his chair.
I like that a lot.
Cool. What have you got?
Are you ready for this, mate?
Yeah.
I've got The Fault in Our Stars in Our Eyes. Need I say more?
Nope.
Good.
Thanks, guys. It's been really good. Rate, review, subscribe. Hang on.
So, The Fault in Our Stars in Our Eyes.
Yeah.
There has been a murder on the set of Stars in Our Eyes, and it's up to Matthew Kelly to solve it.
Oh, and so the murder is because, like, a light fitting fell.
Mm-hmm.
And so he becomes, like, the safety police of the set.
Yeah.
Finding out the fault.
Yeah. In Our Stars in Our Eyes.
It's like a hardball.
Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be dead under a light fitting.
Yeah, I like this.
No, what you're saying is the title.
Do Stars in Their Eyes exist outside of the UK? I assume there's international versions.
Oh, surely. It's such a great format. I feel like the show's died since talent shows offer like a legitimate prize.
Yeah.
So the format was members of the public with half decent voices would come on and they'd give a few clues as to who they were going to be. They're going to be a celebrity. They're going to impersonate like a celebrity singer. And Matthew Kelly would, in his inimitable style, ask sort of probing questions, you know, how... And it was always like, I think there's an excellent Peter Kay sketch where they always answered, well, I was at home singing in the shower and my mum came home and said, turn that CD off. And that was the moment I realised I could sing. That's like always what the answer is, essentially. And then they say, tonight, Matthew, the final line before they go off and perform is, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be George Michael. And then they would disappear off stage and they would instantly come back through like a smoky doorway.
Yeah.
And they would be dressed as convincingly as the pop star as the makeup team could manage.
Yeah.
And they'd perform one of their hits.
Yeah.
It was brilliant TV.
Really good. A much more innocent time, like you say. There was no real prize. I think at the end of the series there was like a best of and someone did win it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was any big prize or anything.
That's kind of the premise. I've just realised it should be called The Fault in Our Stars in their eyes. But there we are.
I think that the presenter, Matthew...
Kelly, come on.
Matthew Kelly.
National treasure, Matthew Kelly.
It's his fault. And it's a psychological drama about culpability and feeling.
He's been damaging
blame.
The set. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Matthew Kelly. Ah! Matthew Kelly has always wanted to be a performer. He's always wanted to do the performance.
Yeah.
And so he starts killing off other competitors until they are left with no choice but to put Kelly in.
Yeah, and he's killed. And what he's like, he's gone a bit too far. And so he's killed the whole audience.
Yeah.
He's killed all the cameramen and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, he kills himself. And they find the videotape of a man being both the interviewer and interviewee.
Oh, yes.
Doing his own makeup.
Being the entire audience. Yes! Oh, God.
Is this... I feel worried that this is terrifying in an offensive way, but I don't think it is.
No, I've checked. He's still alive. So it's fine.
Is that what makes it okay?
Yeah, I think so. That's what made it okay in my mind.
That's suggesting he's a lunatic serial killer is fine because he's alive.
No, I think everyone's fully aware that Matthew Kelly has never been convicted of being a serial killer. This is just an imagined Matthew Kelly. And
yeah.
Also, I think he's versatile enough to play it.
Jeff,
I'll put that to you.
Jeff.
I think Matthew Kelly could get inside the mind of Matthew Kelly but is a serial killer.
For legal reasons, let's call him Jeff Umelli.
Okay, good.
So Jeff Umelli.
Yep. Is it a bit late to introduce that? The Fault in Our Stars in their eyes.
Right. I always say who wins, but I think is it Hacksaw Fridge?
Is it Hacksaw Fridge? Or is it the Fault in Our Stars in Our Eyes?
For me?
Yep.
Tonight?
Oh,
yeah. The Fault in Our Stars.
Amazing, really. I mean, that was a one-liner, that one. That was a real elevator pitch of a film. It's the kind where you think you could go to Hollywood execs just hoping there'd be no secondary question.
Yeah.
Film idea. The Fault in Our Stars in Our Eyes. Yes, commissioned. Oh, thank fuck for that. Because the rest of this binder's blank.
And they accept it, and then you send them the weird suicide tape of Jeff Umelli.
Right, John, it's pretty much the end of the show. And the way we know that is because there's a knock on the studio door. The next booking's in, so we've got to wrap things up. Come on in. Hey, it's National Treasure Matthew Kelly. What? I mean, what are the odds?
He's beckoning me to go outside and have a word with him.
He looks furious.
Sorry, guys. Bear with me one second. Yeah? So I just had a chat with Matthew.
What's he got to say?
And how has he managed to already hear what we've been talking
about? Mate, don't question
about.
Matthew Kelly.
He's not happy.
Shit.
He says that all the allegations, all of them...
Can't be proved.
...were cleared, and that what we've said is frankly offensive.
Oh, God.
So he said, whatever we do, make sure this never makes it to iTunes.
Fine. Okay, cool. If you do happen to find this on iTunes, be sure to rate, review and subscribe. Do all of that. Absolutely subscribe and you'll get the new issues. New issues! There's also a fanzine that we're doing with this show, full of Matthew Kelly fan art. There will be
backhanded compliments.
Yeah, there is a zine that comes out, but do also rate, review and subscribe and you'll get the brand new podcast in the early hours of Tuesday morning for your Tuesday morning commute. What a treat. And you can find us in all the social places. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.